हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीहद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 90, chapter 11, chapter summary of Vimaha Purusha. There's two more chapters. Śrīla Gosvāmī concluded, while the sages glorify the sun god with the hymns of the Sama, Rig, and Yajurvedas, which reveal his identity, the Gandharvas also sing his praises, and the Apsaras dance before his chariot. The Nagas arrange the chariot ropes, and the Yakshas harness the horses to the chariot, while the powerful Rakshasas push from behind. Facing the chariot, the 60,000 Brahmana sages known as Valakilyas travel in front and offer prayers to the almighty sun god with Vedic mantras. For the protection of all the worlds, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who is unborn and without beginning or end, thus expands himself during each day of Brahma into these specific categories of his personal representations. Śrīla Viṣṇu Chakravarti Thakura writes, this description of the actions of the six associates, Tanlingahi, means by Vedic verses which reveal the sun. Conclusion. By seeing and remembering the Lord's vibhutis, one can easily remember the Lord's feet. How do the devotees meditate upon the Lord? A devotee thinks, I should always remember my Lord, and I should always see this vibhuti of my Lord's feet, the earth. All the animals and plants which take shelter of the earth also have taken shelter of my Lord's lotus feet. Therefore I must respect them all and not hate them. The vibhuti of the kostuba hanging on the chest of my Lord are all the jivas. Therefore I should not criticize or harm even one of them. End quote. This is the result of contemplating universal form. The Lord has made so much effort so that his devotees may easily attain him by meditating on him in this form. Right? So the Lord gives all these varieties of forms and aspects in which we can always meditate upon the Lord. Right? So this is one where you can see Krishna everything, everywhere and everything. Right? So you don't require any other paraphernalia or associates or anything. Just on your own, you can appreciate all this. Right?
So Maharaj Krishna is only doing things for the benefit of the living entity.
Yes, that's right. He doesn't do anything else. That's what I was saying. The Om is the Lord, the internal potency, and the living entity. Mm-hmm. Right, so the living entity is always included. Like that. So.
Sometimes in a meditation on Brahma Gayatri, which is connected to this as a meditation on sun, sometimes it is explained that Savitur is the jiva who is helping the internal potency, Bhargo in the service of Deva, meaning so
Krishna.
Yeah, Krishna. Is that
that's
good
also
meditation?
It also is there, yeah. All these things work. The point is we only take what is given to us by our acharyas. We won't take other interpretations. Otherwise, then we'll get off track.
But so this is one of them.
Yeah.
But we don't chant that one. We chant the Karma Gayatri.
Means it's what he's talking about is the Brahma Gayatri. That's the first Gayatri.
But we chant that one.
Yeah, no, that's part of it. It's one of the ones that we chant. So it's Brahma, Guru, Gaur, Gopal, and Kama. So. Chapter 12, the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam summarized. Pratigya. When people properly glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or simply hear about his power, The Lord personally enters their hearts and cleanses away every trace of misfortune. Yeah, so properly glorify or simply hear about, right? So if you're presenting from authoritative sources, or you hear from authoritative sources, then Krishna, within the heart, he cleanses away all the misfortune, right? Like, yes. I think that Gita, Tesham, Evan, Ukam, Partham. Yes. So someone who hears, then Krishna removes all the ignorance. Right? Yes.
Well, it's also interesting that Bhagavatam starts with very similar verse, and now it's ending with a very similar statement.
Yeah.
So I just struck me.
Yeah, it's always that sampat. Right, so it's going to open with it and close, and it's complete. Adhyaya Prakashika. In the 12th canto, beginning with the first canto, the famous stories are repeated in sequence for clarity. Sardartha Darshani 12:12:1. The Supreme Lord Sri Hari personally removes all the distress of a person who hears about his glories. Whatever words glorify the innumerable transcendental qualities of the personality of Godhead are truthful, auspicious, and conducive to piety. Whereas all other words are impure. So that's the thing, is that that has to be accepted. Right? Because otherwise then we think, this is ordinary. And then we have the real thing. Right? No, pure devotion is the really real thing. That's the whole point. Right? And then within that, there are varieties. You know what I'm saying? It's just like there's food, and within that there's a variety of food. Yes. You know, so depending upon taste, you have it like that, but it's all food. Yes. Does that make sense? That's the idea. So anything that would glorify the innumerable transcendental qualities of the personality of Godhead are truthful, auspicious, and conducive to piety. So all inauspiciousness will be removed from the heart. That's going to happen. Does that make sense? Discussions of topics concerning the Supreme Lord bestow ecstasy, which remains constantly new. Right? Does it say certain topics?
Yes.
Just says topics, right? That's the. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Then within that, there may be specific taste.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But persons who are like crows become absorbed in unessential topics, those unrelated to the personality of Godhead, right? Mm-hmm. So those things not related, that's like crows. It doesn't give any taste. We say it gives a material taste, but then after a while we're tired of that taste and it gives no taste.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really give taste. There's the idea it should give taste. You know what I'm saying? Like doing something mundane, we think, this will be good. But then as we go, we're trying this way and that way to try to make it good. And at the end, we just get tired or run out of time and it never was good.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? You know, so, yeah. So, things about Krishna, they're always good. They always work. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
By chanting and hearing the countless names of Lord Sri Hari, which describe his glorious qualities, all human beings can be relieved of their sins. Neither knowledge devoid of devotion for Lord Vishnu, nor fruit of work, nor not offered to him have any real beauty. Right. Okay, neither knowledge devoid of devotion for Lord Vishnu, nor fruit of work not offered to him, have any real beauty. By constant remembrance of Lord Krishna, on the other hand, all one's inauspicious desires are destroyed. One's mind is purified, and one attains devotion for Lord Hari, along with knowledge filled with realization and detachment. Another approach might be that it's explained that this natural affection for Krishna, the relationship is already there. It's just covered by our material consciousness. Right? And because of that, then you have the subtle and gross bodies. So it's a matter of becoming purified and revealing, bringing out that transcendental position. Does that make sense? So it's not something imposed. So that means if you purify the heart, this will naturally come up.
Yes.
Not that, no, I'm going to establish something that's not there. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Listen. So you don't have to establish rag.
Yes.
You just have to purify the heart. The rag will automatically come up because that's the nature of the living entity.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
You just mentioned another explanation. Wouldn't it be the explanation that we take, the main explanation, what you just mentioned now?
Yes. But the point is that it's being thought as though you have to do something to make it happen. You don't have to do it. You just have to follow the process by which you're being purified in connection with Krishna. Or let's say, you follow that process that connects you to Krishna. You'll be purified. It will naturally come up. So it's not a separate thing. That's what Prabhupada said. It's not an imposition on the mind. Right? Okay. So, yeah. Sudha Goswami then states that previously, in the assembly of Maharaj Parikit, he heard from the mouth of Sri Sukadeva the glories of Sri Krishna, which annihilate all sinful reactions. And now that he has related these glories to the sages at Naimisharanya, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, the spirit soul is purified and obtains salvation from all sins and all kinds of fear. Through the study of this scripture, one achieves the same result as that achieved by one who studies all the Vedas. One also achieves the fulfillment of all desires. Right? So if your desire is prema, then that will be fulfilled. By studying with a controlled mind this essential compilation of all the Puranas, one will reach the supreme abode of the personality of Godhead. Right? So it says supreme abode. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the whole point. Yes. Anyway, remember it before Krishna, the last instructions he gave, does he like things that are blunt right in your face, or does he like things to be a little subtle?
Subtle.
Yeah. So that's the whole point. So this idea that through rag we'll make it blunt, it's not pleasing to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Every verse of this scripture, I guess it's supposed to be a comma, right? It says, every verse of this scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, contains the narrations of Lord Sri Hari, who has innumerable personal forms. That's the problem with English. If you don't have it's hard, so hard to read, right? It's like that in other languages?
Yeah.
It is? Because like in Sanskrit, you have the grammar, and you can put it together kind of however you want, and it still works. No, you have to have all the
Hebrew. It's easier on Russian. It's exact same like English.
Okay, so maybe that's why the okay, but Hebrew is a little easier.
Easier.
Yeah, probably because yeah.
No punctuation.
Okay. Yeah, it doesn't even have the vowels, right? In Hebrew, you put the vowels. You just have the consonants.
You have a big when you start the new sentence.
Yeah.
You have a bigger letter.
And that's it.
It doesn't have it.
Oh, it doesn't have in Hebrew. It's all the same. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. It's just all the same size.
It's very hard to read.
Okay.
Equal vision.
Yes, equal vision. Or how you say?
Nobody's
you have to. You have to rise up to the understanding, right? No?
Yeah.
Aliyah.
Aliyah.
Yeah.
Yes. Finally, Sri Suta offers obeisances to the unborn, an unlimited supreme soul of the unborn. Those who haven't picked. Because there is something about all those who are hearing, all those who will hear, all those who have, you know, like this. So I was thinking, maybe this is not. The unborn, unlimited supreme soul, Sri Krishna. As well as to Sri Sukadeva, the son of Vyasa, who is capable of destroying the sins of all living beings. Shloka Anusharana. Summary verses 1 to 26, summary of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 47 to 69, the benefits of hearing and chanting the Srimad Bhagavatam. Verses 1 to 46, summary of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Suta Goswami said, offering my obeisances to the supreme religious principle, devotional service, to Lord Krishna, the supreme creator, and all the brahmanas, I shall now describe the eternal principles of religion. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, I offer respects to the great dharma, known as bhakti, dedicated to Krishna, who is attained by bhakti, who is the cause of all things, and the brahmanas like Vyasa, Dev, who revealed bhakti, right? So it's all about bhakti. So when you say dharma here, we mean bhakti, sanatana dharma. Like that, to some extent, depending on the contact you're talking about, either bhakti or all the processes of religion, including bhakti. Or some people just talk about dharma as one thing and then bhakti. Sometimes you see dharma and bhakti. because it's separating the two, so that you know the difference. Sometimes it's talking about them the same because the processes used in Dharma are the ones used in Bhakti, or you just mean Bhakti because Bhakti already includes the others. Sutta Goswami continue. O great sages, I have narrated to you the wonderful pastimes of Lord Vishnu, as you inquired about them from me. Hearing such narrations is the suitable engagement for a person who is actually a human being. This literature fully glorifies the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who removes all his devotees' sinful reactions. The Lord is glorified as Narayana, Hrishikesha, and the Lord of the Satvatas. This literature describes the mystery of the Supreme Absolute Truth, the source of the creation and the annihilation of this universe. Also presented our divine knowledge of Him, together with the process of its cultivation and the transcendental realization one achieves, right? So you got that Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana there? Divine knowledge of Him, the Sambandha, together with the process of its cultivation, Abhideya, and the transcendental realization one achieves, Prayojana. Right, footnote 60. Oh, it says right there. Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. Yes. Okay. We're all on the same page, right? It's here, the footnote's here, same page. Yeah, good, good. Does that make sense? So it means though different terminologies may be used, but they're always describing the same things. Right? Philosophy is one thing. It has a certain number of elements to it. Those things are being discussed. I mean, there's unlimited subdivisions. But the major categories and the major divisions that we deal, it's the same. Just different vocabulary may be used, right? Yes. That's what we started this morning, is that the pragya. Yes. Then it has different ways it can be explained, right? Depending on the context. Yes. But the ultimate point it means is having love and devotion to the Lord. Yes. Right? Because if you have love and devotion, it means you're always conscious of Krishna. Mm-hmm. And if not, then bhava, which means you're pretty much focused on Krishna. Mm-hmm. And if not, then the madhyama, where he's mainly focused on Krishna. Mm-hmm. And then the neophyte, where he's, you know, he's has his good moments. And then you have the materialists who don't. But some may accept the knowledge and detachment that are connected with the bhakti, so that's a piety. Others accept the activities, you know, the practices that are connected with bhakti, though not bhakti, right? Like the jnans, like that. So that's good, only because of it, that aspect, but because they don't know it, they don't get the benefit. Then you have the people below that who their activities are not connected with what's recommended, and so then they're just, how you say, either riding in a bucket down to hell, you know, having a good time, or, you know, how you say, very comfortably, how you say, riding on the highway down to hell, you know, whichever particular, how you say, sampradaya you come in. Does that make sense? You know, or you're stuck in Hotel California. You know, so you've already made it. Right. Does that make sense? Yes? No? Yes, okay. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The impersonal Brahman is present in Bhagavatam. Since it cannot be perceived by the senses, such as voice, how is it possible? It is described through creation and destruction of the universe, not directly. The method to attain Brahman, jnana, is also revealed, along with its realization. Sutta Goswami continued. The following topics, because right, he's saying the personal Brahman is there, but personal Brahman's on the person Brahman. So from that, you can understand the other. Does that make sense? That's what this aspect of Kriya Yoga is showing, that through all these things in the universe, that all the energies, all that, from that you can understand the Supreme Lord. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Sutta Goswami continued. The following topics are also narrated. The process of devotional service, together with its subsidiary feature of renunciation, and the histories of Maharaj Parikshit and the sage Narada. Yeah, so devotional service is a subsidiary feature of renunciation. So that renunciation, then there's knowledge there, then there's the activities that gain you that. So like this, they're all connected. But it's starting, you see, he's starting from bhakti and then coming down. So the definition is bhakti, but the words used may appear to be dealing with these other aspects. Mm-hmm. Is that? Yeah. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments. Sadhana and sadhya bhakti are explained, some, completely, with introductory and concluding actions, as well as renunciation which arises from it. Then the topics are listed in order. One should not object to admitting parts of the stories which are famous in presenting a table of continuous contents chapter. Right? So in other words, when you're doing the chapter, you might say, well, this major aspect is left out, but you're showing what's the contents, what's the main things, the details in that, even though it may be very famous and a very major detail, it's not a fault if it's not there. Otherwise, why have the table of contents? Because it gives you that overview so you can tell what's going on. And then in that context, then this comes. Right? So he's pointing this out before so that one doesn't think, oh, he left out this and he left out that. No, the principles that are there that are supposed to be gained, that has been given. And then how much detail is necessary.
Yes.
A table of contents makes no attempt to present everything. The very famous chapter about Krishna's birth, the punishment of Ashwatthama, the passing of Bhishma, the story of Chitraketu, the destruction of Tripura, the story of Ambarish, the killing of Agasura, and the bewilderment of Brahma are omitted or passed over very briefly, and sometimes stories are put in a different order. Mm-hmm. Right? Because you're trying to bring out, especially now as the conclusion, it means when you're starting, you want to present in a particular order because people don't know things.
Yes.
So until they learn one thing, you can't know the next.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Some things you can, it doesn't matter the order, but some things it does. So in the beginning, it will have a specific order. But the purpose is to get you to a particular understanding. So now in the conclusion where you're doing the same thing, giving a summary, now you can put it into whatever order best fits the conclusion. Because now you know all the topics. Does that make sense? So that's why the order may change. Just like we'll see with the Bhagavad Arkamrichi Mala. Right? We're studying it in the order from Canto 1 to Canto 12. But when Bhagavad Arkamrichi Mala, to make the points of the themes that are given in Bhagavatam, since now you know all the knowledge, now they'll be in different orders to bring out that knowledge. Because something's brought up here, and then it goes, and then it brings up again. You know, it's just like, let us say, for example, the discussion we were having this morning on Rag Bhakti, or yesterday also. Then we've discussed these points since the last 10, 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But they're just in the context that it's there. So only that much is there. Now, having heard all that, then you can put it all together in one place.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But otherwise, there's so many things before that you have to know to be able to appreciate that. Right? Mm-hmm. Just like in 11th canto, very technical points are made, and everyone just nods their head. But now, those same points were made down in second canto, and they need full explanation. Does that make sense? So that's the whole, you'll see the difference in the summary in the contents and the summary of contents at the end. There may be a difference in the presentation. So he's making the point, you don't have to worry about that, because, you know, he says he killed the demons. That includes Agasura. Does that make sense? Yeah. Sutta Goswami continued. Also described as saintly King Parikit sitting down to fast until death in response to the curse of a Brahmana's son. Right, so he first started off with process of devotional service.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the main thing, along with the feature of renunciation. Because we saw how to engage the aspects of karma, but also all the gyan that was used in the process. And the histories of Maharaj Parikit and the sage Narada, right? So those are important. Those are in the first canto, and that sets the whole flavor for the whole thing. Because Narada coming, that history then means that Achinta Beta Beta Tattva was understood by Vyas, and then everything else came from there. So you're starting with that. Then you're going down into, okay, then other aspects. Also described as saintly King Parikit sitting down to fast until death in response to the curse of a Brahmana's son. And the conversations between Parikit and Sukadeva Goswami, who is the best of all Brahmins. Right? So then he goes to sit down. So we don't have to get into why he was cursed, what was this and that, all the different things. And, you know, you just know that he got cursed, he went, he sat. Sukadeva Goswami came, and then he's the best of all Brahmins, so therefore he was invited to speak. Because all the other Brahmins were there, they had their different ideas. But then when Sukadev came, then everyone unanimously agreed, no, he should speak. Right? The Bhagavatam explains how one can attain liberation at the time of death by practicing fixed meditation in yoga. Right? So then we can take the processes that you're using at the stage, but it's bhakti that's the main. Mm-hmm. Right? So if you're not using bhakti, whatever stage that you're using won't have its effect. So if we're using karma yoga, it won't have effect unless it's connected with bhakti. Right? Jnana yoga also. Right? It also contains a discussion between Narada and Brahma. Footnote 17, that chapter shloki. Right? Because then that's that basis of understanding how everything's Krishna and how that absorption in Krishna, that's actually your process. Right? And that will give you the result of knowing Krishna the person. Right? An enumeration of the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and a description of how the universe is created in progressive sequence, beginning from the unmanifested stage of material nature. This scripture also relates to discussions that Vidura had with Uddhava and with Maitreya. Footnote 18. Riti, this occurred just after Lord Krishna's departure from his manifest pastimes. Inquires about the subject matter of this Purana. Okay, Vidura and Uddhava with Maitreya inquires about subject matters of the Purana and the winding up of creation within the body of the Supreme Lord at the time of annihilation. Creation affected by the agitation of the modes of material nature. The seven stages. Of stages of evolution by elemental transformation. Footnote 19. Vritti, the seven primary elements. The five material elements, the total energy, Mahatattva, and the false ego. Srimad Bhagavatam 326.50 purport. Right, so you have the total material energy, so Mahat. So in this case, you're just using it so you can say Mahat, but it basically is inferring sutra. Right, so you have the false ego. Is that I'm the controller and enjoyer. Then you have sutra or mahatattva, which is I want to control and enjoy. Then you have the five material elements, which you try to control and enjoy. Yeah. Like that. So that way, then you can say the seven. Because that then summarizes material existence. Right? Because these ones here then means you're going to have your senses, the sense objects, so you know that. Is that? Yeah? And the construction of the universal egg. From which arises the universal form of the Supreme Lord. All these are thoroughly described. Right? So how it arises, but then we also see is that how then at the end how to connect that back to Krishna. So he says all this came up, but then he also shows the other way, how to it connects to Krishna and how it. You know. Other topics include the subtle and gross movements of time, the generation of the lotus from the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and the killing of the deem Hiranyaksha when the earth was delivered from the Garbhodaka ocean. The Bhagavatam also describes the creation of demigods, animals, and demoniac species of life. Right? Because we said the creation, you know, for all detail from beginning to end. But that also includes this. But just to bring it out, then now he explains here. That's why he's saying it's not in order. Otherwise, you can put this inside there. Because then you can, oh yeah, it's the overall creation. Then he says, he also describes all the species. Right? The birth of Lord Rudra and the appearance of the first woman, Satarupa, who was the excellent consort of Manu.
Appearance of Swayambhu woman. Appearance of Swayambhu woman.
Yes, we missed one.
Yeah, we missed one line.
The Bhagavatam also describes the creation of demigods, animals, and demoniac species of life. Okay.
Yeah.
The birth of Lord Rudra and the appearance of Swayambhu Vimana from the half-man, half-woman Ishwara. So appears he also then appeared from the lotus. Right? Yeah. Does that make sense? Because the half-man, half-woman Ishwara is Virat. Virat's the universal form. Universal form's the lotus. Because it just said Brahma's there watching and then they just appeared because he didn't know what to do. Right. Also related are the appearance of the first woman. Right? So Swayambhuva came and then his wife also appeared. Who was the excellent consort of Manu and the offspring of the pious wives of Prajapati Kardama. The Bhagavatam describes the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the exalted sage Kapila. And records the conversation between the greatly learned soul and his mother, Devahuti. also described in the progeny of the nine great brahmanas, footnote 20. The nine great brahmanas are Marichi, Atri, Angira, Pulastya, Pulaha, Kratu, Bhrigu, Vishishta, and Atharva. Each of them married one of the nine daughters of Kardama Muni, and thus populated the world. So then they're all the Prajapatis. Mm-hmm. Right? So then they, but are these also sons of Brahma?
Yeah.
No. Okay. Atharva is also, or is this another name for one of them?
Well, she just appears there.
Well, it's probably because many of them have different names. They have two or three different, I mean, many names. But the destruction of Daksha's sacrifice and the history of Dhruva Maharaj, followed by the histories of King Prithu and King Prachinabarhi, the discussions between Prachinabarhi and Narada, and the life of Maharaj Priyavrata. Then, O Brahmanas, the Bhagavatam tells of the character and activities of King Nabhi, Lord Rishabha, and King Bharata, footnote 21. Prajapati's Daksha's sacrifice was destroyed due to the offense towards Lord Shiva. Dhruva Maharaj received darshan of the Supreme Lord at a young age under the guidance of Narad Muni. Although his intentions were initially material, and spiteful in nature, okay, due to his immaturity, he became purified and attained the polar star. Prithu Maharaj was born from the churning of the arms of the corrupt-minded King Venu, who was the son of the gentle and saintly King Anga. In the line of Dhruva Maharaj, Maharaj Prithu convinced the earth to resume her provision of grains, minerals, gems, and all other commodities and necessities, and then performed 99 horse sacrifices. Would have been 100 if not for the envy of Lord Indra, who introduced all of the bogus orders of sannyas. King Prachinabarhi had a discussion with Narada Muni in the form of an allegorical study in which Narada Muni convinced the king to renounce material attachments and take up spiritual practice. Following the orders of the Supreme Lord, Maharaj Priyavrata dutifully remained in household life while engaged perfectly in full Krishna consciousness with no material attachments. In order to dissipate the darkness of night, he mounted his seven-wheeled chariot and rode a course opposite the suns. In doing this, he also created the seven oceans and seven islands of Bhumandala with said chariot's wheels. So it appears before that it was just one mandala. And then with his going, then it created the seven oceans and the seven islands.
Right? Yes.
Right? Yeah. So he rode on the opposite side of the sun. And in that way, then it was always light. You know, just to created a balance in the perspective of the devatas and all that. King Nabhi worshipped the Lord in order to have a son equal to him, and so the Lord personally appeared as his son, Rishabhdev. Rishabhdev had a son named Bharata, who, although a great devotee, was minorly distracted at the end of his life while taking care of an orphaned deer. So that's the distraction. It's an obstacle. Mm-hmm. Then that removal of the obstacle, immediately he's back to his Uttama platform.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the third aspect of Rag. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, and yesterday we discussed about just being in the contact with the spiritual master, the advanced devotees. Yes. We advance even though we're not necessarily doing anything,
mm-hmm.
you know, specific. Right? And then the mercy of Krishna. Krishna is pleased with you, and then you advance.
Yes.
Right? So, because of this, he had to take birth as a deer, where he continually heard transcendental knowledge from the sages in the forest, and then, in his next life, he chose to act dumb so as not again become accidentally entangled in material life. Okay. That was... Okay, the Bhagavatam gives an elaborate description of the earth's contents, regions, oceans, mountains, and rivers. Also described are the arrangement of the celestial sphere and the conditions found in the subterranean regions and in hell. The rebirth of Prajapati Daksha is the son of the Prachetas and the progeny of Daksha's doctors, who initiated the races of demigods, demons, human beings, animals, serpents, birds, and so on. All this is described. O Brahmanas, also recounted are the births and deaths of Dhritarasura, And Diti's sons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Right? So Vritrasura, then that's special. It will always be mentioned. Because that's what makes Bhagavatam unique of the Puranas. I mean, besides the pure devotion, that's the main thing. But as far as stories go, it's the only one of the 18 Puranas that talks about the Vritrasura pastime. So if you mention the Purana with Vritrasura, it means Bhagavatam. It's not like, well, which one? No, it just means Bhagavatam. And Aditi's son Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, as well as the history of the greatest of Diti's descendants, the exalted soul Prahlad, the reign of each Manu, the liberation of Gajendra, and the special incarnations of Lord Vishnu in each Manvantara, such as Lord Hayashirsha, are described as well. The Bhagavatam also tells of the appearances of the Lord of the universe as Kurma, Matsya, Narasingha, and Vamana, and of the demigods churning of the milk ocean to obtain nectar. An account of the great battle fought between the demigods and the demons. A systematic description of the dynasties of various kings. And narrations concerning Ikshvaku's birth. His dynasty and the dynasty of the pious Sudyumna. All are presented within this literature. Also related are the histories of Ila and Tara. And the description of the descendants of the sun god. Including such kings as Shashada and Niriga, the histories of Shukanya, Saryati, the intelligent Kakutshta, Katvanga, Mandata, Saubari, and Sagara are narrated. The Bhagavatam narrates the sanctified pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, the king of Kosala, and also explains how King Nimi abandoned his material body. The appearance of the descendants of King Janaka is also mentioned. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes how Lord Parasuram, the greatest descendant of Bhrigu, annihilated all the Kshatriyas on the face of the earth. It further recounts the lives of glorious kings who appeared in the dynasty of the moon god kings, such as Ila, Yayati, Nahusha, Dushvanta's son Bharata, Shantanu's son Bhishma. Also described as a great dynasty founded by King Yadu, the eldest son of Yayati. So, Dushmanta's son Bharata, and then Rishabdev's son, they're different. Right? They're both Bharata.
Yeah, we studied three Bharatas.
Three Bharatas.
Three Bharatas.
Okay. And the third Bharata?
Ram Lakshman.
Oh, Ram Lakshman, okay. Also described as is the great dynasty founded by King Yadu, the eldest son of Yayati. How Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Lord of the Universe, descended into this Yadu dynasty. How he took his birth in the home of Vasudeva, and how he then grew up in Gokula. All this is described in detail. Also glorified are the numerous pastimes of Sri Krishna, the enemy of the demons, including his childhood pastimes of sucking out Putita's life air, along with her breast milk, breaking the cart, trampling down Trinavarta, killing Bakasura, Vatsasura, and Agasura, and the pastimes he enacted when Lord Brahma hid his calves and cowherd boyfriends in a cave. The Srimad Bhagavatam tells how Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram killed the demon Danukasura and his companions, how Lord Balaram destroyed Pralambasura, and also how Krishna saved the cowherd boys from a raging forest fire that had encircled them, the chastisement of the serpent Kaliya, the rescue of Nandamaras from a great snake, the severe vows performed by the young gopis, who thus satisfied Lord Krishna, the mercy he showed the wives of the Vedic Brahmins, who felt remorse, the lifting of Govardhan Hill, followed by the worship and bathing ceremony performed by Indra and the Surabhi cow, Lord Krishna's nocturnal pastimes with the cowherd girls, and the killing of the foolish demons Shankachuda, Arishta, and Keshi. All these pastimes are elaborately recounted. The Bhagavatam describes the arrival of Akrura, the subsequent departure of Krishna and Balaram, the lamentation of the gopis, and the touring of Mathura. Also narrated are how Krishna and Balaram killed the elephant Kuvalyapita, the wrestlers Mustika and Chanura, and Kamsa and other demons, as well as how Krishna brought back the dead son of his spiritual master, Sandipani Muni. Then, O Brahmanas, this scripture recounts how Lord Hari, while residing in Mathura, in the company of Uddhava, and Balaram performed pastimes for the satisfaction of the Yadu dynasty. also described are the annihilation of each of the many armies brought by Jarasandha, the killing of the barbarian king Kalyavana, and the establishment of the Dwarka city. This work also describes how Lord Krishna brought from heaven the Parijata tree and the Sudharma assembly hall, and how he kidnapped Rukmini by defeating all his rivals in battle. Also narrated are how Lord Krishna, in the battle with Banasura, defeated Lord Shiva by making him yawn, how the Lord cut off Banasura's arms, and how he killed the master of Pragyotishapura, and then rescued the young princesses held captive in that city. There are descriptions of the powers and the deaths of the king of Chedi. Of king of Chedi, Paundraka, Shalva, the foolish Dantavakra, Shambhara, Dvidvida, Pita, Murda, Panchajanya, and other demons, along with a description of how Varanasi was burned to the ground. The Bhagavatam also recounts how Lord Krishna relieved the earth's burden by engaging the Pandavas in the battle of Kurukshetra. How the Lord withdrew his own dynasty on the pretext of the Brahmana's curse. Vasudeva's conversation with Narada. The extraordinary conversation between Uddhava and Krishna, which reveals the science of the self in complete detail and elucidates the religious principles of human society. And then how Lord Krishna gave up this mortal world by his own mystic power. The Bhagavatam narrates all these events. This work also describes people's characteristics and behavior in the different ages, the chaos men experienced in the age of Kali, the four kinds of annihilation, and the three kinds of creation. Footnote 22. The four kinds of annihilation are Naimita, or partial, Prakrita, or elemental, Atyantika, or final annihilation of material existence, and Nityada, or continual destruction. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out that the three kinds of creation are from Prakriti, the daily creation of Brahma, and the normal creation of individual bodies. Right, so what we see going on, so they also match with the other aspects. Right, so those are the creations, then you have the destructions. Right? There are also an account of the passing away of the wise and saintly king Vishnurata, Pradikat, and explained of how Srila Vyasadeva disseminated the branches of the Vedas. A pious narration concerning Markandeya Rishi and a description of the detailed arrangement of the Lord's universal form, and his form is the sun, the soul of the universe. Thus, O best of the Brahmanas, I have explained herein what you have inquired from me. This literature has glorified in full details the activities of the Lord's pastime incarnations. But it's interesting how on all of them he just says this has been explained. But when it comes to that, the Uddhava Gita, he says, you know, this, how you say? Extraordinary conversation, right? And then brings out how it gives the details of devotional service and his practices. Verses 47 to 69. Suta Goswami continued. If when falling, slipping, feeling pain, or sneezing, one involuntarily cries out in a loud voice, obeisances to Lord Hari, one will be automatically freed from all his sinful reactions. BBT purport states, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that Lord Sri Chaitanya is always loudly chanting the song Haraye Nama Krishna in the courtyard of Shiva's Thakur, and that this same Lord Chaitanya will free us from our materialistic enjoying propensity, we also loudly chant the glories of the Supreme Lord Hari. So now with this wall here, we don't have to chant as loud. Does that mean we get less benefit? But it also, I guess, there's the aspect of one should hear about the Lord, and without the wall you can't hear, so I guess it balances. Right? Suta Goswami continued, when people properly glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or simply hear about His power, the Lord personally enters their hearts and cleanses away every trace of misfortune, just as the sun removes the darkness or as a powerful wind drives away the clouds. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Entering the heart, the Lord destroys unlimited distress, like the sun destroys darkness. However, if the clouds come, the sun does not destroy darkness. Therefore, another example is given. a powerful wind destroys clouds. Right? So in any case, you can say, oh no, but it's so much, this, that. No, Krishna, in any case, is going to be removed. Right? And if we're saying, no, but, you know, I've heard all this and still so much, so, you know, it's still there, we just, that means how much volume is there. Mm-hmm. Unlimited has been removed and there's still some left. Right. Sudha Goswami continued, right? Because bending upon our faith and our commitment to that degree, it's removed. It'll always be removed. But just the greater it is, then the greater the removal. But the point is, Krishna will remove.
So we should have implicit faith.
Implicit faith. That's there. But also, even if we don't have implicit faith, we should always hear about and chant about the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. Then, by that, always hearing and chanting about the Lord's name, form, qualities, and pastimes, then we will get that. We will become purified, where then naturally the devotion to Krishna will just shine forth. Mm-hmm. No? A doubt.
Sometimes it seems that it is removed, but the experience is such by habit as if it's not.
Yes, but that, but then, but it takes less time to get rid of that. You understand? It's like waking up after a dream. It may take a little while before it goes away.
Right.
But the dream's not there. You're awake. You're conscious.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. Is that that's the whole point. By habit, then one does. So that's why the point of the sadhana bhakti, you know, the vaidhi bhakti, is that you go through the stages that you should go through, despite whatever the condition the mind's in. You know, and you'll be purified. Mm-hmm. So then it always works.
And we develop new habits.
Yes, and then because of that, using the intelligence, the Buddha Yoga, then we develop a new habit. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, if you're going to do one thing by habit, and then you remember, oh no, we're not doing like that, then it's through intelligence that you think, okay, we do like this. You know, if there's any still little doubts, you clear them at that time, you know, or just you've already cleared, and then you just remember, and then so through intelligence. So that's why Buddhi Yoga is if you're conditioned, Buddhi Yoga works very well.
Yeah.
Like that. Certainly. Sudha Goswami continued, words that do not describe the transcendental personality of Godhead, but instead deal with temporary matters, are simply false and useless. Only those words that manifest the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord are actually truthful, auspicious, and pious. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The conclusion of this scripture is that one should glorify Krishna. Other glorification, though not done badly, should not be done. Right? So even if you describe other things other than Krishna in a very wonderful way, still it shouldn't be done. It's just a waste of time. Yeah, just mundane. Yeah. Though material words are true, they are also false, Risha. Right? So the material worlds, they're there, they're talking about facts and that. That's true. But at the same time, they're also false. If we only take the true part, then the temporariness of it, that's going to be a problem. Though material words are sweet, they are painful, Asati. Right? They sound very nice, but they don't really work out so good. Why?
Because of lack of connection to Krishna.
Yes, because he's the sweetness. Everything else is just dry.
Mm.
But if something's dry, you don't call it sweet.
Yes.
Because they do not speak about Bhagavan. Why? Because they do not speak about Bhagavan.
Mm.
Thus, true words are false. Sweet words are harsh. And learned words are useless. If the words are false because they come from one's imagination, but they glorify the Lord, then the words are true. Though the words about Bhagavan are inauspicious because they destroy the householder's world, they are actually auspicious words. Right? So by hearing about the Lord, the householder's world slowly, gradually fades away. They're still auspicious. Even though by the platform of karma it's considered inauspicious. Right? And it's just like that, what do you call it? You hear the Rupa Goswami's warning. that if you want to maintain your material desires, don't go down to the bank of the Jamuna and, you know, hear, you know, and see that, you know, wonderful cowherd boy and all that. So what will the devotees do? They'll go down to the Jamuna.
Yes, yes.
But those who are the smartest, the karma, they'll specifically not go there. It will be a niyam that they, I mean, a rule they have. Don't go there. Like that. I bumped into it a few times, not that specific one, but anything that would remove material desire that we see and therefore establish devotion, they won't do. Oh no, you can't do this because that will create this, so you don't want to do that. Because they're, how do you say? They are firmly fixed. Yes, dvitavrata in materialism. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes also devotees, they invite swamis for the wedding, which is considered inauspicious in terms of, how you say, karma.
Mm.
But still they do.
Yeah. But that's it, because then you have the devotional side. And so then that's like that. But I've never read that it's inauspicious for them to be there.
No, it's inauspicious for the couple.
Really?
Yeah.
Because sannyas is considered dead according to social.
Oh, okay, so they don't come. Okay.
Dead bodies are inauspicious at the weddings.
That's according to the Karmic Mamsikas.
That's the Karmic Mamsikas, because I haven't come across that Manu. Manu doesn't speak to anybody. He mentions widows. They don't go to weddings. Or they don't take part in those, you know, the parts where, you know, you sprinkle water and do those things.
So that's. Any ritual not
yeah.
participate.
Because the point is they're also socially dead.
Yeah.
But the point is we can look at it, oh, but it's discrimination. No, it's actually a blessing on them, because otherwise, how many weddings do you have to go to? Right? You know, if someone's in that position of being that senior, how many people do they know? Right? Huge amount of people. Right? All those huge amount of people are either getting married, getting remarried, getting remarried, or their children are getting married, like that. And so that means you'll constantly be going to weddings.
But you can eat.
You can eat, but how long does it take to eat? Right? Yeah, and then it's hours go by. You know, you could have, you know, studied a chapter of Bhagavatam, chanted your rounds, done your puja, like that. That's the thing. So as you come down, you do the puja, you got prashad anyway, so how you fall? You know, so you're saved from it. So that's the thing, is in here, it makes it look like, oh no, they're not allowed to come and this and that. Actually, it's a great benediction. They can just peacefully sit at home. Right? So, like that. It depends on which side of it you're looking at. It. Okay. Yeah. And although the irreligious say that the speeches describing how the Lord takes others' wives is impure, it is pure because those indicate good qualities in the Lord, not faults. Right? Because he's you know, surrendered to the devotees. He reciprocates with the devotees. Like that. But it says, so the irreligious, they make these points. Right? But they always present themselves that they're religious. That's the fun part. In this regard, Sri Narad Muni says early in the Srimad Bhagavatam, those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by saintly persons to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows. Since the all-perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, they do not derive any pleasure there. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories, of the name, fame, forms, pastimes, etc., of the unlimited Supreme Lord, is a different creation, full of transcendental words, directed towards bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5, 10-11. These verses are also repeated in this chapter by Srila Suta Goswami in verses 51 and 52. Suta Goswami continued, those words describing the glories of the all-famous personality of Godhead are attractive, relishable, and ever fresh. Indeed, such words are a perpetual festival for the mind, and they dry up the ocean of misery.
Right. So this is Sukadeva Swami. He's summarizing what he heard from Sukadeva Swami?
Yes. Krishna. It is the Bhagavatam that describes all these things. So that's the... So it's that, it's what he's heard and it's what he's explained. So what he's spoken, then he's describing that in summary. Because he said, you ask questions, I've described all these things. So that's the Bhagavatam. Because Bhagavatam is the glories of the Lord. So we're sitting and discussing Bhagavatam. So even these conversations we're having, they're connected to Bhagavatam, so they have that effect. Does that make sense? Yes. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Though Krishna, following Prasena, went into Jambavan's cave, is not pleasant, it is also pleasant. Though Rama's giving up Sita is not pleasurable, it is also pleasurable. Though the stories of the Lord are old, they are ever new. Though Rama's pursuing Maricha and Ravana stealing Sita destroys the happiness of the mind, they are also joyful for the mind. The one falls into an ocean of lamentation from seeing Krishna giving up wives and sons. The event also dries up the ocean of lamentation. So that's the thing. When it's about Krishna, it always has perfect effect. Right? The effects are always perfect. Sutta Goswami continued. Those words that do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows, and are never resorted to by those situated in transcendental knowledge. The pure and saintly devotees take interest only in topics glorifying the infallible Supreme Lord. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, form, pastimes, and so on, of the unlimited Supreme Lord is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed towards bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of the world's misdirected civilization. Right, so that's the whole point, is that this by hearing about the Lord, that's where the redirection will be. It's not by other means of religion. Right? That's the point, is this is what we'll do. It's a connection to the Lord. Right? Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. Knowledge of self-realization, even though free from all material affinity, does not look well if devoid of a conception of the infallible God. And so if you know you're not the body and all this, but it doesn't connect to Krishna, then it's not looking good. What then is the use of even the most properly performed fruitive activities, which are naturally painful from the very beginning and transient by nature, if they are not utilized for the devotional service of the Lord? So if jnana's not connected to the Lord, it's useless, so let alone karma. Right? The great endeavor one undergoes in executing the ordinary social and religious duties of the Varnashram system, in performing austerities, and in hearing from the Vedas, culminates only in the achievement of mundane fame and opulence. But by respecting and attentively hearing the recitation of the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord, the husband of the goddess of fortune, one can remember his lotus feet. Right? So all these other pious things, if they're not connected to the Lord, they'll only give you material results. Maybe nice material results, but that's as far as you'll get. But you won't become happy, because it doesn't address the soul. Right? Remembrance of the Lord's lotus feet destroys everything inauspicious and always rewards the greatest good fortune. It purifies the heart and bestows devotion for the Supreme Lord, along with knowledge enriched with realization and renunciation. O most eminent of Brahmanas, you are all indeed extremely fortunate, since you have already placed within your hearts Lord Sri Narayana, the personality of Godhead, the supreme controller and the ultimate soul of all existence, beyond whom there is no other God. You have undeviating love for him, and thus I request you to worship him. I also have now been fully reminded of the science of God, which I previously heard from the mouth of the great sage Sukadev Goswami. I was present in the assembly of great sages who heard him speak to King Parikit as the monarch sat fasting until death. O Brahmanas, I have thus described to you the glories of the Supreme Lord Vasudeva, whose extraordinary activities are most worthy of glorification. This narration destroys all that is inauspicious. One who with undeviating attention constantly recites this literature at every moment of every hour, as well as one who faithfully hears even one verse or half a verse or a single line or even half a line, certainly purifies his very self. One who hears this Bhagavatam on the Ekadasi or Dwadasi day is assured of long life, and one who recites it with careful attention while fasting is purified of all sinful reactions. One who controls his mind fasts at the holy places of Pushkara, Mathura, and Dwarka, and studies the scripture will be free from all fear. Upon the person who glorifies this Purana by chanting or hearing it, the demigods, sages, siddhas, pitas, manus, and kings of the earth bestow all desirable things. By studying this Bhagavatam, a Brahmana can enjoy the same rivers of honey, ghee, and milk he enjoys by studying the hymns of the Rig, Yajra, and Sama Vedas. Right, so whatever benefits you get by the Karmakanda, you get the same by hearing Bhagavatam. Brahman who diligently reads this essential compilation of all the Puranas will go to the supreme destination, which the Supreme Lord himself has herein described. A Brahmana who studies the Srimad Bhagavatam achieves firm intelligence in devotional service. A king who studies it gains sovereignty over the earth. A Vaishya acquires great treasure, and a Shudra is freed from sinful reactions. Right? So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura mentions, in order to inspire persons with material desires to study this work, these temporary results are mentioned.
Yes.
But the main thing he already mentioned before is that devotional service and attaining Krishna's abode.
Yes.
But if you have some other things, then you get all the benefit from studying Bhagavatam that you get from all the other stuff you're doing.
Yes.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi.